Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, stoppers, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. I'm Tim Brown. I'm the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com. I'm filling in for Bradley today, who's doing some other things. He can't be on radio today. I'm coming live from the bunker in the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina, where it is nice and sunny, but it is very humid. So I'm glad to be with you today. I got to tell you, I'm a little riled up. I just posted an article dealing with this vote on Planned Parenthood. And there is a part of me that wants to weep. And there is a part of me that is so angry that I just want justice upon these people who claim to represent the people of the U.S., who claim to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which is backed by the ultimate protection of rights, which is life, who just voted to continue funding the hit organization of Planned Parenthood, who will take out your unborn child for a couple hundred bucks. So I apologize in advance for my tone, but I don't apologize. If you want to find us online, you can check us out at sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and also sonsoflibertymedia.com, which we'll jump over to in a second, sonsoflibertymedia.com. And as one who edits the site, thank you for your support. I really appreciate that. We want to somehow give you not only the news that comes through, but the answers and what you can do to join in the fight, not just be a keyboard commando and type out on websites or Facebook, but you can get involved by contacting the people. Shame them if you have to. Shame people into doing the right thing. Call them to repentance. Call them to the gospel. Call them to the law of God. Do all of those things. People cave to pressure. Give them the truth. And we will win the day if we do that. But if we sit back and we're just keyboard commandos, we're not going to win anything. You can also follow us on Facebook, Bradley Dean, Bradley, double E, B-R-A-D-L-E-E, Dean on Facebook. Also, Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook and Sons of Liberty Media on Facebook. You can head on over to sonsoflibertymedia.com and several items up today. Yesterday, I know after the show, we put up several articles, including the fact that the Democrat National Convention chairperson, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, can't explain the difference between a socialist and a Democrat. That's because there is no difference. In fact, some of them have gone beyond socialism to full-on communism, and they were called out years ago. So you people who are voting for Democrats, you're getting exactly the government that you want. I've had people tell me that I'm a Christian Taliban because I want to adhere to the law of God. And the law of God is not Islamic Sharia. It's not. If you think it is, please call in. sometime. I don't think the phones are accessible now, but maybe we can set that up one time. You want to call in? You want to challenge me on that? I'll take you right to the law of God and show you where that's not the case. In fact, for those who think everything is, you know, if you do anything, it's a capital punishment, you need to read the law of God, the Pentateuch. Read what God gave. It's not that at all. In fact, many times it is reserved the image of God, and the only reason that a capital punishment would exist is if people confess to the capital crime or there are two or three witnesses to that capital crime. Otherwise, the person is not put to death. So we need to put that aside, and we need to clear that out. Also, sonsoflibertymedia.com, a heroic team drives directly in the line of fire to save injured woman. I put this up last night. Great story back from the first of the year, which didn't get a lot of media attention. A young man by the name of Caleb Martin, 18 years old, who saw a woman in distress, pinned against a guardrail, a car looking like they were coming to ram her. He drove in front of him and witnessed the fact that the guy who had drove in front of her had actually shot this young lady twice, took her to his grandmother's house, got help for her, and the guy's a hero. Very humble hero, realizes that, you know, he said, I wouldn't do anything anybody else wouldn't do, but yet he's the one when put in that situation, did it. These are some of our young people that we need to be encouraging other than those who are falling into the degeneracy that our culture is swallowing them up in. Also, sonsoflibertymedia.com, you'll want to go and check out this letter that Bradley received the other day prior to the weekend of his article that went out on Friday concerning the sodomites are aiming for your kids. This guy demonstrates who the real haters are in the sodomite movement. Now, they tell us that as Christians, those who call out their behavior as sinful and criminal, that we're the ones who hate them. Now, listen, I got 10 kids. When my kids are doing something wrong, I'm going to say, guys, the Bible says this, stop doing that. Do what you're supposed to do. That's love. That's real love. To let them go on in something that endangers their lives is not love. It's hate. It's to allow them to go on in that which is going to destroy them. Check out that letter. You tell me who the hater is. It's the guys who are the sodomites. It's the guys who are supporting them. Also, at sonsoflibertymedia.com, quickly, U.S. military is killing off major ISIS agents that Hillary Clinton and Obama helped and released. And these guys, Obama and Hillary, don't want you to know who their names are. Because of that fact, we also know at sonsoflibertymedia.com this resolution has been initiated to oust Boehner. We'll see if it gets through. Does he have the votes to kick him out, or is he going to stay as Speaker of the House? Sonsoflibertymedia.com, a new executive order by Obama, which is illegal, it's unconstitutional, which legalizes slave labor in America. Check it out. He's wanting those who have special skills to do his bidding without compensation. Read the executive order for yourself. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, another store, joins Arkansas, Florida, and New York in refusing to sell weapons, guns, arms to Muslims. And I'm thankful for that. Until these people separate themselves from a political ideology that disguises itself in a religion which has its aim to destroy Christianity and America, we don't need to supply them with anything. We would be aiding and abetting them in their claims for jihad and world domination of Islam. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Liberals want to control your right to free speech no matter what. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Trump and Gingrich. Hillary should be in the jailhouse, not the White House. I agree with that. The latest video from Planned Parenthood is up at sonsoflibertymedia.com, in which a Planned Parenthood official says intact late-term abortion baby cadavers are available. And also at sonsoflibertymedia.com, yes, Ben Carson, the Bible does have more authority than the Constitution. On the other side of the break, we're going to take up some of this.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. I've really been thinking over the issue of what has sort of slipped in to America from the 19th century on, and what has drowned us, not only as the church, but also as a nation, because it has political implications. And by political, I'm not meaning what most people mean political. I'm talking about how we deal with foreign policy, how we deal with certain things, even within our own nation, and then within the church, how we view certain things. And so I want to clear that up. Let me just cite for you one more article from sonsoflibertymedia.com that I put on just before the air. Here are the senators with blood of the innocent on their hands. Now, I've listed all of the senators who voted against defunding Planned Parenthood on Monday. Okay? You can find them there. I provided a link at the bottom in case you want to let them hear your voice. And I'm not one who's going to say, yeah, you should be nice to them. I think that you need to confront them with the law of God, which says you shall not murder. I think you need to confront them with the scriptures that say God hates those who shed innocent blood. And contrary to the popular opinion that God loves the sinner and hates the sin, folks, he doesn't send the sin to hell. He sends the sinner there. The Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. Why do you think we want to call sinners to repentance? We don't want them under the hand of an angry God. I mean, you know, when I was in high school years ago, it seems like a long time now. When I was in high school, we had to read Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And now today, the church proclaims God in the hands of an angry sinner. That's not the way it is. God is angry with those who are in rebellion against him. Why do you think we bring the message from the king that doesn't say, oh, it's okay if you're angry with God, just sort of sort that out on your own. No, we come and say, you know what? The king is angry with you because you're in rebellion against him, and you need to repent towards the king. As David said in Psalm 2, kiss the son lest he be angry. That's all of the nations. Kiss him. Pledge your love towards him. Turn from your wickedness and turn from your sin and turn towards Christ and obey him, and all will be well. You will know the love of God if you do that. If you don't, all you will know is the wrath of God. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, everybody quotes John 3:16, and sometimes I got to tell you, it gets a little on my nerves, one, because they take it out of context, two, because they misinterpret the passage. It says that God sent his son so that the believing ones might not perish. He came to save a people out of sinners, out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And these senators who voted to not defund Planned Parenthood, and they include Republican Mitch McConnell. All of these guys are guilty of the blood of every child that dies at the hands of Planned Parenthood, every one of them. And as such, they deserve the same fate as that child, in my opinion, and I think according to Scripture. So just laying that out. I don't want to stick on that today. I've got something else that I've been thinking about, and I wanted to kind of confront an issue, not in any kind of anger, because I realize there are a lot of Christians who have been taught a lot of this, what one of my employers calls last day madness. They have been given the lies of dispensationalism. They have been told certain things that some people are going to disagree with me, but here, I'm just saying, I'm going to walk through you with the Scriptures as best I can. I've got roughly 40 minutes to do that, so there's no way I can take care of all of it. But you're welcome to contact me through Sons of Liberty Media. Just click on the contact button and send me a message. That's fine. I'll be glad to answer it. But let's reason from the Scriptures. Don't give me your opinion. Give me the Scriptures in their context. I don't want to play Bible ping pong. I don't want to go into a context. You tell me what it says, but you have to define it outside of its context, okay? So if you want to engage me, I'm happy to do that because I once held to this stuff because it's what I was taught. But I want to begin because a lot of people, I get the comments constantly that come in that say, oh, Jesus is coming soon. Now, I want to be clear. I do not deny the second coming of Christ. I hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith, okay, which believes that Christ will bodily appear on this earth one day, that there will be the resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. They will be judged. There will be eternal bliss in the kingdom of God before his throne in the presence of the Lord forever and ever for those who are righteous in Christ, and for those who are not, there will be eternal damnation. Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because you practice lawlessness. And that's one thing that the Sons of Liberty is known for, law. Why? Because God is lawful. Christ is lawful. He's not lawless. And so to begin, I want to pick up one thing from Daniel chapter 9. I want to walk through this in this section if I can clear it up in this time. And then I want to take some passages out of the New Testament that is often geared and pointing us towards 2,000 years in the future, which I don't think that's what Christ had in mind at all. So bear with me. If you're angry and you say, oh, you're just going to do this, just bear with me, okay? Have some patience with your brother here. I want to tell you about Daniel chapter 9. And I want to read this passage of Scripture real quickly, and then I want to walk through it real quickly. Daniel has a vision. Understand that Daniel chapter 9 starts with Daniel reading the book of Jeremiah, which is the book that Bradley has been referencing, the one he's been engaged in over the past couple weeks. And Daniel reads Daniel chapter 9. Remember, he's in Babylon, and he realizes that God said the people would be in Babylon for 70 years, a year for each of the 7 years that they skipped the sabbatical that they were supposed to observe. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take them into bondage. They stayed there during Nebuchadnezzar. They were there during Belteshazzar. And they were there during the conquering of the Persians under Darius. And Daniel is praying. And notice, here's a godly man. He's confessing not only his own sin, but the sin of his people. Ask your pastor if he's confessing his own sin and the sin of his people. Okay? Just a side note. He's praying, and an angel comes to him, and he gives him some information. And here's what the angel says. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Very quickly, the 70 weeks are 70 sets of 7 years, 490 years. That's what that means. And here's what he says. It's for your people and for your holy city. And obviously, he's talking about the Israelites and the city of Jerusalem. And what's going to go on during that 70 years? There's going to be a time to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. That's what's going to occur in those 490 years. So when are those 490 years going to start? Verse 25 of Daniel chapter 9. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So he splits it up. And we can read in the book of Nehemiah where this command went out to Nehemiah, and the king actually gave him the funds and everything he needed to restore both the city and the walls around the city. And that famous paper of Charles Spurgeon, The Sword and the Trowel, is based on that. When you go back and read the biblical account, soldiers had a trowel in one hand, laying brick with one hand, and on the other side, they were fighting off the people that didn't want them to fulfill what God had said, and that was the rebuilding of the city. Okay? So you've got 7 weeks, that's 49 years, and then you've got 62 weeks, which is all the way up until 483 years of the 70 weeks. I don't want to be confusing you, so if you need to replay this, you can do that during a podcast, okay? You can go back and play it. And here's the message. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. That's the whole sword and trowel issue. But listen to what he says here, verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, in other words, there's been 7 weeks, all right, and then there's been 62 weeks. That's 69 of the 70 weeks. That's 483 years. This is what he's getting. You can read it like this. After the 483 weeks, Messiah, that is Jesus Christ, shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then verse 27. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Now, real quick, right before the break, here's what goes on. 483 years pass from the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Okay?
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. Even very smart, very accomplished people. It's part of being human. A quote taken out of context, a legal problem, an unfortunate photograph. Once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Because people love to dig up dirt, even when it's not real dirt. Put it to rest. Call for a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. Businesses, public figures, and professionals turn to Reputation.com for good reason. We protect your online image by helping make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Learn more about what the experts at Reputation.com can do for you. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Picked up at Daniel chapter 9. I was reading the passage out of there, verses 24 through 27. I just quickly want to do that, and then I want to jump over to the New Testament, the words that Jesus has, especially concerning Daniel. But quickly, remember what Daniel is told by the angel. He's told that after these 69 weeks, that's 483 years, from the time of the command to go and rebuild Jerusalem, till the time of the Messiah will be 483 years. But after that, after those 483 years, not during them, after it, the Messiah is to be cut off. That means he's to be killed. He's to be, the literal translation is to be cut off from the land of the living. He's to be killed. His life is to be taken from him. Okay? And he says, but not for himself, verse 26. Okay? And everybody goes through this passage, and then they want to say, yeah, but it says, and then the people, the princes to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, the end of the flood, and the end of the wars, desolations are determined. And then what they want to do is lump verse 27 in with this prince that is to come, somebody other than Messiah. Okay? But I want you to think through some things that the scriptures tell us. Specifically, verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. I want you to think about that. I have heard some of the most strange things come from people about pin the tail on the Antichrist, and that's what they do. Instead of focusing upon Christ and the work of Christ and fulfilling the covenant that he has made, they try to look for everybody from Juan Carlos of Spain to, I don't know, some leader of Islam who isn't in Islam is an antichrist religion, according to 2 John. There's no question as to who an antichrist is. Antichrist, let me put it in the biblical sense, is anybody that rejects God came in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Read 2 John. Okay? But understand something. 70 weeks were determined among Daniel's people, the Israelites, and Jerusalem. And we know from Daniel's passage that after 483 years passed, that Christ fulfills the work he came to do. Now, I'll just tell you, I love John MacArthur out of California. I love him. He taught me a great deal about how to look at Scripture in a context. I disagree with him on dispensationalism, totally disagree with him, which is something I'm pointing out here. And I disagree with him because of the very thing he taught me, which was context. But here's the thing. Even John MacArthur would go back to verse 24 of Daniel 9 and say, Christ in his first coming fulfilled the first three things. Finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity. You can listen to his previous teachings on the book of Daniel from the 70s to see that's what he teaches. And he says, to bring in everlasting righteousness, the seal of vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy, he says that occurs at the second coming. But the problem is, he says these first three things are accomplished in the death of Christ. But if we read Daniel 9 in context, Christ dies outside of his 70 weeks because John MacArthur, like all dispensationalists, view these 70 weeks as running consistently up until the last week. And then the last week, they shove way out in our future somewhere. Of course, for them, it's somewhere close in our future. Now, I'm not mocking them over this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doing that. I'm simply trying to stay in the context. And the context tells me that Messiah is cut off after 483 years. He's cut off in this parenthesis that they want to stick up between 483 years and the 490, or the 70 weeks. Okay? I see this continuum. And in the midst of that continuation, listen to what Daniel says. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now, I got to let you know, the word for there in verse 27 is not in the original. It's been put there sort of for some comprehension issues. But if you can read it, he shall confirm with a covenant with many 1 week. Now, we know from Luke that when Jesus began his ministry, which I believe is the start of the 70th week, it's the end of the 69th week. It's the beginning of the 70th week. And we know Luke says about Jesus, he began to be about 30 years old. And most of us know that Jesus had a ministry that lasted roughly 3.5 years. 3.5 years is about half of it's half of 7 years, and 7 years is what we're talking about, a 1 week. Okay? Got that? 1 week is 7 years. Half of that is 3.5 years. That's how long Jesus' ministry lasts. And notice the words of Daniel. He shall confirm a covenant with many 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he'll bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Now, I want to pose to you this. Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took the bread and the cup from the Passover meal. And what we, at least in our church, celebrate and remember every Sunday is the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus that was given for us. It doesn't turn into anything. It's not mystical. It's not magical that it turns into something like the superstitions of the Roman church used to teach. But rather, it is remembering the person and work of Christ for what he did. And when he took that cup, and when he took that bread, he said, this is my body that's given for you. And when he took this cup, he said, this is the cup of the covenant. You get that? And when do you do that? In the middle of the week. In the middle, he had been ministering for 3.5 years. He did it in the middle of the week. And what does the writer of Hebrews say? He stopped all of the sacrifice. There's no need for it. Matter of fact, the writer of the Hebrews says over and over and over, don't go back to that sacrificial system. It's nothing. It's shadows of the person of Christ and of the work of Christ. Quit trusting in goats and bullocks and everything else. Trust in the person of Christ. For instance, if I'm coming around the corner of my house, my kids are standing out front, and the sun is behind me, it casts a shadow in front of me. And so they see a shadow coming, and they don't know who it is. But once I round the corner, guess what happens? They recognize I am the substance of what that shadow represents. I'm their daddy. And in the same respect of what Christ is, all of the sacrifices, the temple, the high priest, all of the stuff of the Old Testament, as Jesus says in Luke 24, following his resurrection, he took the disciples through the scriptures beginning at Moses and the Psalms and all of that and the prophets, and he says, these speak of me. All of those were shadows. He was rounding the corner, and he came out and he said, guys, all that stuff you saw was the shadow. Here I am. They were talking about me. Jesus brought all of that to an end. That's why when you read the book of Revelation, you'll find certain allusions to that. There is no need to go back to a sacrificial system. There's no need for a temple to be rebuilt because, as Jesus said in Matthew 23, there's one that's greater than the temple among you, and there he was pronouncing a woe, a judgment, upon those who are the religious leaders of the day. If I can quickly slip over into the New Testament. Matthew 23, if you read from, say, Matthew 20 on, you will see Jesus cannot back off from the religious leaders of pointing the finger at them and pointing out their hypocrisies. And in Matthew 23, he has had it up to here. Imagine my hand is sitting way over my head, okay? And over he calls them hypocrites, and he pronounces woes to them over and over and over and over. Those woes are judgment upon the Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites, serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? These were the same people that their fathers, God had sent them, the prophets, and yet they wouldn't listen to them. But what would their fathers do? They would kill him in the same manner that these wicked men wanted to kill Jesus. Why? Because he told them the truth. And he said, upon you, verse 35 of Matthew 23, may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, that's Genesis, to the blood of Zechariah, which is the close of the canon, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Did these guys standing before him murder Zechariah? No, but their fathers did, and they had the same mindset. It was to shut down the voice of God. And once they shut them down, they wanted to resurrect them as though they honored them, as though they took pleasure in their words. But they despised what they had to say, just like they despised what Jesus had to say. And Jesus says in verse 36, assuredly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. That's where you get the famous passage, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children, not you religious leaders, because you're hard-hearted. But I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. The leaders were not willing for Jesus to take his rightful place as the King of the Jews, as the Messiah, and to save his people from their sins. But he did save them from their sins, didn't he? Matthew 1:21. And he says to these religious leaders in verse 38, see, your house has left you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We'll pick it up in that context on the other side of the break. I think if you drive from that, you will see exactly what Jesus is saying. You will see the fulfillment of his words in 70 AD among Jerusalem. Stay with me. I want you to see that.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters. We are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747. Or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, this is Tony Witnack from radio station KNZR in Bakersfield, California. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This verse is Bradley Dean. I truly do appreciate the ministry of sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Are you enjoying Sons of Liberty? Would you like to meet more people like yourself? Look no further. Sons of Liberty has just the thing. Go to gcnlive.com/sonsofliberty. There you will enjoy a special forum for you to communicate with others who also like this show.
Hello, I'm Bradley Dean, and I want to hear from you. Visit me at gcnlive.com/sonsofliberty. That's gcnlive.com/sonsofliberty.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, which includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. I want to get on this as quick as I can. We have a very short amount of time. Like I said, I'm trying to cover a lot of stuff in a very short amount of time, but I want to give you something to think about. I want to give you something to study for yourself. You say, are you trying to convince me of something? Yes, I'm trying to convince you of the truth. Because it is the lies that I think of dispensationalism. And you say, what is dispensationalism? It is this idea that the church and Israel are somehow separate. Paul shot that down in Ephesians 2 and Galatians, the whole book of Galatians. Ephesians 2, he says that Christ came to tear down the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile and to make from them, Jew and Gentile, one new man. Those who are far off, doesn't matter what your physical pedigree is, who your fathers were, that means squat. He wants to take and make from the two one new man. They're not going to be ripped asunder again. Okay? You need to understand that. In Galatians, he says, he basically echoes the words of John the Baptist and Jesus. You think you're sons of Abraham? What's the big deal about that? Jesus said, I can make rocks out of sons of Abraham. That's no big deal. But Paul said, it is those who have the faith of Abraham that are the sons of Abraham. That's Galatians. They are the true Israel of God. Not a geopolitical state on a postage stamp piece of land. It's the people who believe in the Christ. It's the people who follow the Christ. And I'm going to tell you, many people who claim that they're Jews, I have many friends who are Jews that I interact with. But many of them are anti-Christ. They deny that Christ came in the flesh. They deny that Jesus is God. And you got to understand, my heart is for them to know the Christ. Because if all they're doing is looking to the law in and of their own strength, you know what they're going to face on Judgment Day? You're still practicing lawlessness. Because they're standing there naked without any righteousness to cover their nakedness. They're like our father Adam. They're standing there naked and they got fig leaves on. Their own righteousness. And they need Christ. So, picking up real quickly, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, all of these are the Olivet Discourse of the Lord Jesus. Okay? As soon as he spoke those words to them about their house being desolate, about the judgment coming upon the generation, that generation specifically, and some people want to say, well, he's talking about a race of people. No, he's not. There is no such thing as that. There's not. He's talking about the generation. When he's on his way to the cross, he says, don't weep for me, ladies. Weep for yourselves and for your children. This is coming on them. What is he talking about? I'll tell you, this is something a lot of people don't want to speak about. When you go back into Deuteronomy 28, read the curses that are come upon Jerusalem, upon the Israelites, for their disobedience. And God says, I will utterly destroy you. I will destroy you. And I don't care what a person's pedigree is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter their lineage. The issue is, do you got the faith of Abraham or do you not? That's the races. They're spiritual. You're either of your father, the devil, or you've been adopted into the family of God, Ephesians 1. One of the two. And when you move from Matthew 23 into what Jesus says, Matthew 24, I'll do this, we'll do it quickly, I'll make one hint at Daniel from that, and then we'll conclude. Matthew 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple, which, interestingly enough, weren't completed till just prior to 70 AD. It was called Herod's Temple. It was completed just prior to 70 AD, and every stone was pulled out from itself. Why? Because apparently an accidental fire started from the Romans. It melted the gold in the temple. It went in between the stones of the temple, and the Romans, in their lust for gold, pried apart every rock of the temple in order to get the gold out of it. Okay? And they're saying, look at all this stuff, Jesus. Isn't it glorious? Isn't it wonderful? And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? The end of the age. And the end of the age is exactly that. That's what Hebrews said, the writer of Hebrews. He said, the end of this old covenant is coming to an end. Why? Because there's a new covenant that's been established, the covenant in the blood of Christ. And Jesus goes into this long thing about warning about Antichrist, warning about nations against each other, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, all of those things that you can find in the book of Acts. Anybody ever heard of the Philippian jailer, the earthquake that rumbled there? Anybody remember the things that happened with people on the sea, especially the Apostle Paul? When you look up those terms, they refer to earthquakes that happen, the tempests of the seas. What was Paul doing in Asia Minor? He was collecting money for the Christians, the believers in Jerusalem. Why? Because they were facing famines. Over and over, and he says in verse 14 of Matthew 24, in the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world. The term there for world is the inhabited world, the known world, as a witness to all the nations. And yet Paul says over and over in the book of Acts and other epistles he writes, the gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. Now, how is that? Unless we understand it in a biblical context. Jesus also warns, verse 15, therefore when you, he's talking to the disciples, not you and me, he's talking to the disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, that's what I just read for you from Daniel chapter 9, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. And he specifically mentions the Sabbath, and I'll bet a lot of readers out there have a real hard time with the Sabbath. Yep, still in effect, God says you need to rest one day out of seven, because you ain't him. You can't continue in that manner of sin. You'll wear yourself out. And so God says, I made a Sabbath for you to rest in, and I expect you to obey me in that. Why? So you can be of full use to me. You say, well, but that abomination of desolation is this, that, and the other, and you can come up with all kinds of sorts of stuff that's there. But when you go over to Jesus' words, which is a parallel in Luke chapter 21, I mean, he tells you what he's talking about. He says, when you see the armies surround Jerusalem, then you get out of the city. You flee to the mountains. I'm not telling you this to rain on somebody's parade of the second coming of Christ. I believe in the second coming of Christ. But the problem is so many people have put that in. They see everything through a newspaper theology. They want to equate the mark of the beast with some kind of monetary thing, when if you read it in the context of understanding the Old Testament, it's about who's going to obey the law of God, Deuteronomy 6. The law is on your hands. It's bound as frontlets between your eyes, your hand, and your forehead. Revelation 13, that's what it's talking about. And John Bunyan, in his famous book, Pilgrim's Progress, illustrates that. He says this comes up time and again because tyrannies arise in different various nations across time. And what happens? Men submit to the tyranny of men rather than the law of God. And so God says, you need to be aware of that. And it started in the first century. And if you don't believe me, there's one quick thing. A lady by the name of Anne Rice, she wrote some vampire novels. Yeah, I know that's not a big thing to promote, but she wrote some vampire novels. Do you know what brought her to Christ? The realization that the prophecies that Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 were real, and they were realized in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. In fact, Alexander Keith, he was a Scottish theologian, wrote and cited Josephus, and he cited this: the hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were without their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. And the harrowing recital by Josephus of the noble lady killing with her own hands and eating secretly her own suckling. That's her baby. And he goes on to say, these are horrifying things, but they're the reality of prophecy. Not only of the words of the Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy 28:55 says this. The reason I bring this to you, we need to get out of this mindset. We need to charge the gates of hell with a water pistol, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll be back with you in 23. See ya.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch. It. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.